before we get to the preaching of the word, I want to pray in response to that song, if we could, this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, I don't want to be up here without your presence. We don't want to hear the preaching of the word without your presence. So, Father, we need to hear from you, your word, your truth for us. And may we not just hear it, but may we receive your word. May we apply it to our lives. May we be transformed and remade and restored into the image that you are calling us to be, a Christ-like image, a disciple, a follower of you. So help us this morning. And may it be for your glory, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Anybody this morning remember learning to walk? Yeah, you remember that as a small child? I'll be really interested to see. Raise your hand. Anybody remember that? All right. Okay, so most of us don't remember that. So how in the world did you learn how to walk? You don't remember it. So how in the world did you learn how to walk? Now, I would guess most of our stories are similar. Now, there are some exceptions. I have a daughter who's 7. That was kind of loud this morning. She's in a wheelchair. So her story, she's learning to walk right now. Her story is a little different. But for most of us, as a young child, from birth, we began to watch our surroundings. We began to watch our parents. We began to watch others and to begin to process that in our ever-growing and developing brains. And man, my prayer is that your brain is still growing and developing. How about that this morning? But as a baby, you know those neural pathways are just firing like crazy. And as a young baby, watching parents and watching siblings, there comes a moment in a child's life that they begin to stand and to lift themselves and hold on to something. And soon enough, without you really ready for that moment, we'll see a child take their first steps, or maybe a couple of steps. I think I'm looking at a group of overachievers, so I'm sure you guys went from just standing to running, but we know what that looks like in the life of a child. But in that experience of growing up, and as you watch maybe your own children or family members in that process, there are a few things that happen with that, right? We don't all just stand up full of strength and life and take off running, right? Most of us, and as you've watched your own children perhaps, you know that there's a lot of falling down that takes place in this learning how to walk. It doesn't come without bumps and bruises. It doesn't come without trying. But that's how children learn how to walk. By watching others and by trying it ourselves and by taking those first steps. And even after falling, it's amazing to watch a child because they just get back up and try it again, even when it hurts. Right, most children, young children, will only cry for a few minutes, or at least that's my limited parenting experience. Isn't it amazing how we look back? My kids aren't that old, right? 3, 5, and 7, but we look back and like, oh, it wasn't that bad. But then when you've got a child, yeah, it's bad. But we know what that looks like in their lives, that there's growth even through those painful times. There's growth even through those failures until they get to the point where they're walking, eventually running. But it starts with stepping. It starts with stepping out into the unknown. To translate that to our lives today, all of us, even today, will have to make decisions with our lives. We're going to have to step out into the unknown. Not knowing what a decision we might make today might mean for our future, right? We know that. Decisions we make can be positive or negative, right? Just personally here, if I eat a lot of spicy salsa for lunch, I know it's not a good idea because tomorrow it's going to hurt, okay? But there are bigger things in life, right? Who you marry, where you work. These decisions, it can be positive or negative. So it's amazing how even the smallest decisions have a way of impacting us long term. But our decisions in life also have a spiritual component. Would you agree with that this morning? Right? We are spiritual beings. We were made to worship in spirit and in truth. And as believers, this morning we're filled with God's Holy Spirit. So the decisions that we make not only impact us, but also the body of Christ, the church. Right? This morning we are one body, the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus. So what I do as one part of the body, the decisions I make, impacts the rest of y'all. Hey, that's Southern, isn't it? It has an impact on the body of Christ. So last Sunday, we started this new series from the book of Joshua, and we jumped into Joshua chapter 1, and as we looked at the word last week, we see a major transitioning happen. Right, Moses has died, and Joshua is now being raised up into the role of leadership. And with that responsibility, God began to speak some powerful, important promises into Joshua's life. If you were to go back and read Joshua 1 this afternoon, you would see that four times there's this command to be strong and courageous. God didn't say to Joshua one time, he said it multiple times. As if it might be important, not just for Joshua, but for God's people. But there were other promises that were made in the beginning of the book of Joshua. Another promise God spoke is, Joshua, wherever you place your foot, wherever you set your foot, I will be there with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous. Now, Joshua, in this moment of grief and transition with the whole nation of Israel surrounding him in anticipation of the promised land that was on the other side of the River Jordan. Imagine the scene, Joshua surrounded in this moment as God is speaking into his life. Joshua had to make the decision, just like we have to this morning, to trust God, to believe his promises, his words that were spoken into his life, and to trust him in that moment. You see, God had laid out the opportunity. God had given Joshua his calling. Joshua was to lead the people. And it's as if God knew that somehow it was going to be more than Joshua could handle. Right? If we're going to place ourselves in Joshua's position, let's be honest, that's more than I want to take on. That's more than we can handle in our own strength. So the question was, is Joshua going to trust God? Would he trust him even in the impossible? Would he trust his promises that God would truly be with him? Or we could flip it this morning. Do you trust God this morning with your life? With the decisions and the challenges that you're facing, the obstacles, the impossible in your life, do you trust God with your future? But remember, it's not just you and your future. We are the body of Christ. So do we trust him this morning as his body? Are we letting him lead? I invite us to turn together to Joshua once again. And this morning we'll be in Joshua chapter 3. And to begin, I'm just going to read the very first verse of Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3 verse 1 says, "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over." I want to stop us there for a moment because there's some important things taking place in Joshua's life and for the Israelites. And I feel like maybe it might say something to us this morning. You see, Joshua and the Israelites had traveled a great distance. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their unfaithfulness, the sin in the nation. And they had come to Shittim, as I'm going to pronounce it. I've heard other people pronounce it differently. And they're camped there. Moses has died. And I feel, as I read that this week, I feel like so often we find ourselves in this place where Joshua and the Israelites are. They're together. They're like the church. But God has a promise of greater things for his people. And so if we're not careful, we find ourselves, like the Israelites, just camped out on the wrong side of the promise of God. But yet, in that, we feel pretty good. We feel like we're having church, right? That God is with us, right? God's speaking to us, and yet there's a promise out there for greater things. So some of us this morning may feel, even in our own individual lives, like we've arrived. Like maybe God is finished with us, like our work is done. Like there's nothing else that God can do in and through your life. It's easy for us to say that when we feel safe and secure and somewhat settled, even if we're settled in the wrong place. We can deceive ourselves and we can deceive one another, believing that this is all that God has for us. Now, don't get me wrong, God is good all the time, and we could say all the time God is good, and Joshua would say that as well, but what about the promise that God had spoken into his people? So here is Joshua. He now has to decide to leave Shittim behind, and pardon my vernacular, I don't mean to be vulgar, but that was going to be my sermon title, Leave Your Shittim Behind, because that's really what the word is saying to us this morning. But this is what Joshua had to decide. Would he trust God and God's promises? Not even knowing that the real challenge still lied ahead. And maybe Joshua found himself in this place where he thought the death of Moses was the challenge, right? The transition of leadership, that was a big deal, but Joshua has no idea that there's even greater challenges ahead. This is where God's word to Joshua is so important and repetitive, as if Joshua needed to hear it and that we might need to hear it multiple times this morning. Be strong and courageous. I will be with you wherever you set your foot. So decide today. Decide this morning. Are you going to trust God enough to let him move? Will you allow God to shape your future and to move you? So often, it's easy for us to even focus too far ahead. If Joshua were to look back at the promise of God, he would see that the promised land is just on the other side of the River Jordan. And how tempting it would be for Joshua to begin to just focus on the promised land, forgetting everything that's around him, the family of God, the Israelites, the challenge that lied ahead. So even Joshua, much like us this morning, Joshua had to get his focus right. Right? I can't focus my entire life on being with Jesus one day and miss the fact that Jesus is here and now and that he has come to live within me. My focus must be on Jesus today and now, where his Holy Spirit is moving and leading me in my life. So when Joshua processes all of this, makes the decision, he has to take that first step to leave Shittim behind, the land of Acacia, if you have a different translation. We have to remember in our own lives that there is God's promise ahead. We have to remember, even this morning, that there is more than what we are seeing and experiencing right now. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? There is always more for the believer because he, Jesus, is our source of life. Yeah. But we can't move on to greater things until we leave our unfaithfulness behind. Do you see that's about to happen here in the book of Joshua? They could not move on to the promised land until they left behind their unfaithfulness. Those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they had to leave it behind. And this morning, we have to leave behind our unfaithfulness, trusting God, allowing Him to lead us into what is next. But friends, I can't just preach this morning. I have to be honest. It's not easy to leave the unfaithfulness behind. We see here in God's word how the Israelites struggled. How time and time again they were unfaithful. This was the ongoing saga of the Israelites. They struggled to leave their unfaithfulness behind. And as a result, they were lost wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And yet, even in the wilderness, God did not leave them or forsake them. So this morning, if you feel like you're struggling in your own life, be encouraged. God has not walked away from you. He is here, and He is for you. He is not against you. But I can't help but wonder that, if not, God might be perhaps calling us to take that step, to leave the unfaithfulness behind, to become unstuck from the place that we've been living in and the patterns that we've allowed into our lives. Maybe God is calling you to move forward. The good news is that God is faithful, even in our own unfaithfulness. So let's continue in the Word. And we're going to read this whole chapter because we need these pieces this morning. But Joshua 3, continuing in verse 2. After three days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. And so here's what Joshua said. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have not been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, about two-thirds of a mile, between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." So Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. I did so well this week, anyways. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Can you picture it? Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over, right? They walked through it. They crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you're envisioning this whole scene, but in front of God's promise was an impossible situation. For the Israelites, they were facing the mighty flooded Jordan River. Jordan River is a very unique river. It has a great amount of fall from the source to the Dead Sea. There's like 8,000 feet of fall. And it's a fast-flowing river. And here it is, harvest season. It's flood time. So if you can picture it, there was no human way to get everyone across this mighty flowing river. It was vast and flowing with great intensity. So imagine coming up and standing near the edge of this mighty river. Just the sheer sound, the power behind that mighty flow of water. Imagine the mist as it begins to spray up off the rocks on the shore and as it falls at your feet. Imagine the sight. Imagine what the people might have been thinking as they stood there looking out across the water at the promised land. So how do we move forward through impossible situations? How do we move forward through challenges in our own lives? We can only do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Here they were commanded to follow the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was the holy container that held the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments that God had given to Moses. In many ways, the Ark was a material sign of God's living presence. But it was more than that. It was powerful. It radiated God's power in such a way if the wrong person touched it, they would fall down dead immediately because of the sheer power and presence of God. So the command was given to Joshua that all of the people were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. They were to follow God's leading. But they had to keep their distance. 2,000 cubits, two-thirds of a mile because of the power that was radiating. Now here this morning, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. Well, I changed that. I went shopping downstairs in our Sunday school area. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to say that somebody made that, and it kind of looks like the Ark of the Covenant. So if you envision that, okay, that's my prop for the day. This morning, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant to follow. But we have God's presence in our lives. You see, for the Israelites, they had to keep great distance because of the sheer power of God. And yet this morning, God has come so close to us, so near to us, that he has entered into us and is literally dwelling within us. The same power that was so much that could not even be touched or certain death would happen is the same power that's within us this morning. So who is it that we follow as his people this morning? Where we go, he goes with us. Not only that, but God's power is living within us. And God has chosen to operate through his church. Are you living in his power this morning? Remember those words God spoke over Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Remember those words? Remember that God promised to give Joshua every place where he set his foot? And now they stand on the bank of this mighty challenge, the River Jordan, staring the impossible in the face, the promise now closer than ever before. And yet the answer to their need had already been given. God told Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. God, are you sure? Do you not see this impossible situation in front of me? Do you not see this flooding river? Talk about taking a step of faith into the unknown. But when God's in it and when God is leading, it's not really an unknown. We might not be able to see it or yet understand it, but it is not an unknown if God is in it. With God, what's unknown to us is nothing for him. He is present. So Joshua tells them exactly what the Lord had spoken. When you see the Ark of the Lord, move. Follow God. Is this not our position this morning? We are called to move out in faith, following the Lord. So how is it that we know where to go? We follow the Lord. And it's only when we follow God that we begin to see God moving all around us. So the priests step out in faith. You can picture them beginning to dangle their foot over the rushing water. And as they began to place their feet in the water, God showed up in an amazing way. I'd love to be there to see the scene. Were they surprised? It was what God had said would happen. And yet today, so often, we are surprised. If God moves in a miraculous way, it's like we're surprised that God is faithful to the word that he has given us. So they step out in faith and they see God move in this amazing way. But it would not have happened if Joshua had not heard from the Lord. And it would not have happened if Joshua wasn't faithful to speak out that word in faith. And it would not have happened if the priest had not received that word from Joshua. And it would not have happened if they had not stepped out in faith into the waters. So we see this story unfold. The priests step out and they make their way to the middle of the river where they stand. In the middle of this whole thing, if you can envision that, the priest with the Ark of the Covenant standing in the middle of what was impossible. It's as if God is in the middle of your impossible. It's as if God knows how to make a way through the impossible situations. And God did make a way. He made a way for everyone to arrive safely in the promised land. And here this morning for us, God has made a way for all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. God has made a way for all of us to make it safely this morning. And Jesus is that way. So this morning, we, as the body of Christ, are filled with His Holy Spirit. And we read in Hebrews that we are now the priesthood of all believers. We are the ones whom God has commanded to step out in faith. We are now the ones who are receiving His word this morning. And we are the ones who are to step out into the unknown today, trusting God. But it's greater than just you and I. You see, our obedience this morning has huge implications. Lives and generations to come are connected to our obedience this morning. This moment was so much bigger than just Joshua. There was so much history standing behind them on the bank of the River Jordan. All of God's promise and all of the history of the Israelites was just there, kind of hanging on them, weighing on them as they looked out at the impossible. Hopes and dreams and the promises of God's just waiting to be fulfilled. And the question was, would they be faithful? And the question for us this morning is, are we going to be faithful as His church? Because our faithfulness matters. It matters to God. It matters to our families, to our marriages, to our relationships. It matters to our community. And it is only when we step out in faith that we can make a way for others to discover Him. Right? I'm not making this up. I'm going back to the Great Commission, our last series from the book of Acts, the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. He's sending us. And as we step out in faith, we make a way for others to discover Him. Through Joshua's faithfulness and through the actions of the priests as they carried the Ark of the Covenant, the way was made for God's people to reach the promised land. But this morning, through our faithfulness and our obedience and our step of faith, a way is made for other people to meet the promised one, and that is Jesus. These priests had to step out in faith for others to make it to the promised land. Now we must be faithful this morning so others can find the promised one, Jesus. And so this morning, He is calling us to the waters. He is calling us to the unknown. Sometimes God even calls us to situations that seem impossible with our earthly eyes. He's asking us to take steps into places we've never been before. Not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but he's asking us to trust him. He will make the way for his church. We just have to trust him. So the question is, will you step into the water? Will you step into the unknown? Are you willing to take those steps? Are you willing to stand in the middle of the impossible so that other people can find Jesus? If you're hearing this morning, and if your spirit is a yes, if you want to give God a yes to this, then there's a piece that we have to go back to in Joshua 3. And it's the most important piece for all of this. The call was to consecrate. They had to consecrate themselves. We read it in Joshua, the call to consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Nothing happens with the impossible until we consecrate ourselves. We must be made right with God and filled with His Holy Spirit. We must settle in our hearts and with our lives who is Lord. It's a matter of sovereignty. Am I going to rule my own life, or is Jesus going to be Lord of my life? Am I going to trust Him today? If we will humble ourselves, repenting of our sins and consecrating ourselves, being literally set apart for his kingdom and for His usage to serve Him, if we will consecrate ourselves, then see what great wonders God will do. But we don't do it alone. Joshua was speaking to the nation, calling for the nation of Israel, for all of them to consecrate themselves. And the calling is for all of us together as the body of Christ. God doesn't want to just redeem and restore a couple of us. He wants to redeem and restore all of creation. So we're all called to this. And we need to encourage one another in this, that we are together in this work as the body of Christ. It may seem impossible, but there is nothing better than being where He is. Even if it's the middle of the River Jordan with a heap of death and destruction being heaped up in your face, the best place you can be is right in the middle of the impossible, because that's where God is. And that's where God was in that moment. So there is no longer any need for fear, because God is with us. Do you believe that this morning? So here's the last piece. If you believe this, and I feel like some of you are in this, if you believe this morning, and I might just preach to myself here, but if you're in this morning, the call is to stop fighting the flood. Why in the world do we so often want to fight the flood and try and make our own way through these difficult, impossible situations? Why is it that When sin enters into our life, that we just step back from God, that we want to have nothing to do with the gathering of the body of Christ? Why is it that when we're isolated and alone or suffering or dealing with pain, that we begin to isolate ourselves, thinking that we can make a way through this impossible on our own? The call is to stop fighting the flood and trying to do this in your own strength, and trying to walk this alone. The nation of Israel would not have made it on their own. They needed to trust God. They needed to follow His leading. So it's a matter of learning how to walk this morning. And it's okay if you are new in Christ, praise God. But if you get knocked down, don't stay down. Get back up again. Allow God to move in your life. Allow Him to walk with you. Stay in step with His Spirit, as it would say in Galatians. This walk that we're on together as His people is a matter of focus. It's a matter of keeping our eyes on Jesus. It seems unnatural at first. And even for those of us who have been walking with Christ a long time, we can begin to lose our focus. And we can find ourselves in life being overcome by the flood in front of us. But God doesn't want you on this side of impossible. He has a promise for you. And His promise is the Holy Spirit. And His promise is new life. His promise is eternity. His promise is that He'll be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. So let's focus on Jesus, the one who is already here with us. And let's trust Him. And as we do that with our lives, and as we do that as a church family, trusting Him, even in the unknown, even in the difficult moments, even with the impossible, we'll begin to discover that this is what we were made for. And we weren't made to do it on our own. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't His intention. His plan was to empower His people by being in us and with us and for us. Not against us. So if you want to see God move in your life, we must listen and obey. We must follow Him. We must take those steps, even when it seems impossible. But don't go it alone. We go together as His people, as His holy and faithful people. And as we go together, it's even greater than us. The things that God wants to do is even greater than just us. Because as we go together, stepping out in faith, even into the unknown, we begin to make a way for other people to discover Him through what He is doing. As we trust Him in the middle of the impossible, all for His glory and for His honor. So we praise His name for His faithfulness. I want to close this morning by just praying for impossible situations. So this morning, if you've come into this place and you feel like you're facing something impossible, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith this morning, to maybe stand up and take a step of faith and come to the altar to pray for this impossible situation. But we're not going to pray alone. So if you're willing to come forward and pray for an impossible situation in your life, I'm going to invite other people to come and surround you, lay hands on you, because we don't go alone through the impossible as the body of Christ. So I invite you to come. If you have an impossible situation, I invite you to come. I'm going to ask a few others. If you want to come and lay hands on and gather around those who are coming, I invite you to come as we close in prayer this morning, believing in miracles, because God is not done with miracles. He is more than able this morning, and He is the one who makes the way. He is the one who separates the river. He is the one who allows us to walk through on dry ground so that we can live, not just survive, but live fully as His people, trusting Him every step of the way for so much more. For His glory. And then let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we just praise Your name this morning. I thank You, Jesus, that You are the way maker. Father, at this altar, there are all kinds of situations represented. And some of them, Lord, look impossible. Some of them are situations that these folks have been facing for years and years. Some of them are beyond their control. But this morning, Father, as your people, we know there is nothing beyond your control. There is nothing beyond your power and your ability. So, Father, this morning we're praying for each and every life who's come forward, Lord. For those who are here present this morning, those who are listening, Lord Jesus, fill us with your presence. Renew our hope, Father, this morning. Speak your truth into lives this morning. Remind us this morning of your goodness, your faithfulness, your love, that you don't walk away. You haven't walked away from our families. The promise that you'll be with us. We trust you this morning that you are making the way, Lord. You alone are faithful in this. So find us faithful, Jesus, in the situations that we're facing, Lord Jesus. Find us faithful. Father, this morning we ask that you would bring healing and restoration to lives and to families, Lord. That you would bind broken hearts and restore families and homes for your glory and your honor. Lord, that you would bring back sons and daughters. That you would set people free from the chains that hold them, Lord Jesus. For your glory and your honor alone, Jesus. We worship you this morning. That you would be honored and glorified. So set us free, Father. We're in your presence. We're standing together, Lord. And we're focused on you, Jesus. We're focused on your promises, your goodness, and your glory, Father. Father, I pray that you would take away the anxiety and the fear. Fill us with your peace this morning. Your peace and your holiness, Jesus. Give us the strength we need, Jesus. The strength we need for every situation we're facing, every challenge. Lord, when we see impossible, we're not going to see it anymore. We're going to see Jesus Christ, and we're going to stand in the position of victory even before we see you move as your people. We're standing in victory today, Jesus. Strengthen us, Father. Be with us and lead us, Jesus. Lead us forward, God. Strengthen us, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, do a new work. Do a new work in this church family, Jesus. Restore homes and families, but do a new work in our church. Do a new thing in our community for your glory, Jesus. We're not going to settle for what we've experienced, knowing that, Jesus, there are greater things today. So we're praying for more, Lord. We're praying for Marshalltown to be transformed. For those who are struggling with addictions, that those addictions would be broken. For those who are struggling with sexual sin and pornography, for those who are living in adultery, Lord, that those chains would be broken in Jesus' name. For those who are in literal prison this morning, Lord, that you would minister to them, that they would find freedom in Christ even where they are, Jesus. For your glory, Lord. Move in power, Lord. We love you this morning, Jesus. We need you this morning. Jesus.
You have a vision.
Heal her. Move in power, Lord.
Touch her.
The power of the Lord.
Headaches. Thank you, Jesus. No more headaches. Father, the pain, the sorrow.
Yes, Jesus.